Morning, everyone. A lot has happened in the Starbucks world since we met last. Since then I have had much less friends. That, together with the bourbon we smoked that happened this year, pretty lonely. So, but the truth is, today hopefully we'll have some chidushim, some new things to say, both lakula and both lachumra. For the sake of those that haven't been here last time and might have forgotten, and I was just told this is being podcast, I'll review from the beginning a little bit of what goes on there, and explain some of the new things that are happening. In the beginning of the 1980s, many, many moons ago, Starbucks first began expanding out of their home base in Seattle, and as we know, the coffee world has not been the same. It used to be pretty much a simple coffee shop. And then they started introducing things. Funny names that we've all got hooked onto. Espresso macchiato and caramel brulee latte and frappuccinos. And the kosher consumer started taking notice that things might not be a simple coffee shop anymore. And this is really the main thing, lachumra, that's happened since last time. They started introducing hot breakfast sandwiches. When we met last time, they were just beginning. Chicago was actually a test market. But now it's the staple. And now people are rightfully concerned that perhaps it's much worse than we thought. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to go a little bit into what's going on. We'll talk about the Starbucks store, the inherent kosher status of items, the transfer of Tom, the practical applications, and then the most important, ideas for how a person could purchase products at Starbucks without any kosher issues. The first and maybe the most important thing I want to say is that there are two types of Starbucks. There's the full-service Starbucks, which many of us know about. Those are the ones that you go in, you can get your breakfast, you sit down. And then there's the kiosks. The kiosks are actually not owned by Starbucks. They're free license that they have to use the Starbucks formulas and stuff like that, but they're actually not owned by corporate. The kiosks are very good for us, because they do two things that we'll see negate most of the kosher issues. One is they don't serve hot breakfast items. And number two is they sanitize differently. They do not have a dishwasher, or what we call a dish machine, in the back. Now, when you walk into a Starbucks, in the front of the counter, you'll find all types of things. Package items, some of them not kosher, drinks, mugs, shirts, all types of things. But those we don't have to worry about. They come in, they go out, they don't touch anything. The issues we do need to worry about are behind the counter. Everybody knows what a barista is. A barista is Italian for a bartender, and that's part of the Starbucks culture, that the baristas make our drink. And in the back, behind the counter, we have the following setup. Number one, we have the coffee brewer. The coffee brewer is pretty simple. It's pretty universal wherever you go. You put in the grinds on top and in a piece of filter paper. They have a brew basket. Remember that word, the brew basket. That's what the hot water, the 170-degree water, drips into from the top, captures the flavor. Then it goes into a little box. And that box is a spigot, and that's how you get your coffee. The little box, the urn doesn't get touched. That remains as it is. They clean it in place. But the brew basket is our concern for a regular cup of coffee, because that does get cleaned with non-kosher, which we'll talk about soon. That's one part of Starbucks. The second part is the espresso bar. When we talk to people in Starbucks, we talk about the bar. What's going on at the bar? There are two parts to the bar. One is where they make espressos. Espresso is basically a very concentrated coffee shot. If you ever travel in Europe, that's how they drink their coffee. Us Americans have everything watered down. Over there, they have these little cups with a very good shot of coffee, and that's how they drink it there. As a matter of fact, because of us, I mean, this is in general somewhat of a snapshot of Americans. It's like, when you go to Israel, you ever see their tomatoes? Small but nice and juicy. It really compacts that flavor. America, it's nice and fluffy and big, but there's not much to it, right? So that's the same thing with our coffee. So much so that they developed a new drink called the Americano. What is that? The Americano is an espresso with a lot of water to make it look big. Oh, I got a nice big cup. But all it is espresso with hot water. But actually, that's going to be good for us for a kosher standpoint. So that's what an espresso is. On the other side of the espresso bar is the steaming side, which they have the wands. Now, the wand, there are two types. Now they're moving into it used to be when you walk in, there were two wands that were attached to the machine. Now they're moving away from that, and there's one wand, and it's actually removable. It's a plastic where you can take it off, and they sanitize it there. What it is very simple. You put a cup of whatever it is, whether it's milk or any product, and steam shoots out and cooks whatever you're making. So, for example, they'll cook in their milk, soy milk, cream, eggnog, and that's how you make a hot chocolate, steamed milk. You put your cup. Now, they have dedicated metal cups that each one says non-fat milk. One will say soy milk. They won't cross it over. They put it, and they steam it up, and they pour it into your cup. That's the second part of behind the counter. The third part is the oven. The oven, they've actually created this very unique oven where it's a half oven, half microwave. It's made for the sandwiches, where it bakes the outside and kind of microwaves the inside. It's a very unique thing for Starbucks, and it's that is our most problematic in Starbucks because it sits on a ceramic plate. Anyone that keeps kosher knows ceramic is something that you can't kosherize, you can't kosher, because it absorbs tom, and it's a problem. So on the bottom is a ceramic plate, and they put the ham, Swiss cheese, or whatever, turkey sandwich on it, and they bake it. They take it out with these tongs, put it on another ceramic serving plate, possibly cut it for you with a knife, and here you go. So we just were introduced to our first d'oraisa problem of real treif d'oraisa. Then there's the blender. The blender is another little area where they'll make the frappuccinos and all types of things. It's a cold blender. There's not much from a kosher standpoint that's wrong, except that the frappuccinos are not kosher. No more fraps. It used to be, when we spoke last time, I think the cream base was kosher and the coffee wasn't, but now they're all no good. But they could make other things on there. There's some smoothies. One of the smoothies are kosher. The other ones are not. It actually has, you have a question? The other one actually has grape juice in it, so it's not kosher. But as far as we're concerned, the blenders are pretty simple. And that is miscellaneous things. You want a tea. This is by far the easiest thing. I want a tea. I'll take a tea bag, a plastic cup, put it in and brew your tea. Here you are. Iced tea is a little different, and we'll talk about that soon. That's what's going on behind the thing. Now, everybody knows when you deal with kosher, there are two main issues in kosher. There's the ingredients, and then there's the processing. The kalim. And that includes cleaning. So let's briefly review what happens with cleaning. The first way they clean is a rag. Every station has a little box, little plastic with a rag in there, and it's sitting in a sanitizing solution. So you take it out and you wipe down what you need to, what you just used. When I was there this week, I once again asked them to taste the sanitizing solution, because that is really the most important thing when it comes to understanding pagima, which we'll talk about soon. I personally did not think it was pogum. I put it on my tongue. It didn't affect me. I was there with Rabbi Cohen. He was braver. He was swishing it around and drinking it. And, you know, I had to pick him up from the floor. It wasn't that bad. But he said, yeah, it is pogum. So that's for a subject to talk about how something, how strong it has to be, how distasteful. That's the rag part. The other part is the sink. Every restaurant has a three-compartment sink by law. And in the first part, they soak the dirty dishes in a soap solution. One of the great things about Starbucks, and in many places, is they recognize that maybe some of their employees are just, we'll call them, they call it the 20-somethings. We'll call them just new into the business, and you can't really expect them to know and follow all those. So they make it very easy. So much so that when you turn on the water, it first goes through a soap machine, and everything is proportioned exactly the way they want it, right into the first compartment sink, soap and water. Everything's, they don't have to start measuring or anything like that, which is good. Okay, so the first compartment, they soak the soapy in soapy water. The second compartment, they wash or hose down. They take it out, they put it in the second compartment, they take a hot hose, and they rinse it. And here's our first time where, let's say, your brew basket that makes plain coffee was introduced to the ceramic plate that just cooked ham sandwiches. They're introduced to each other through this hot water bouncing back and forth. And the third compartment, they sanitize. Sanitizing is just it's a type of solution where where it kills all the bacteria, whatever it does, and it doesn't have to be hot. In many Starbucks, including a lot of the local ones, they don't even bother with that anymore. They don't even bother with the third compartment because they have a special machine called a dish machine. It's not a dishwasher, it's a dish machine. In the industry, we know it as a Hobart because that's the people that make it. And there are actually a couple styles of Hobart. But the main way the Hobart works, and this by far is the most complicated, is it's basically a dishwasher, a smaller version of a dishwasher. They put in the kalem, and they turn it on. It's only about 2 minutes. It gets to 180 degrees, really hot, 180 degrees water. It first comes out with the sanitizing solution, again connected, and then it just does a hot water rinse. So, again, this is the second time, but much more serious in halacha, where your brew basket that's making your plain coffee was introduced and had a party with non-kosher ben yomo daraisa kalim. Okay. And finally, another way they clean is something called a clean in place. That's like the urn or the espresso bar. They make these little things called urnix. They throw it in and it cleans it up and everything's fine. Now, let's see what is kosher and non-kosher in Starbucks. Now that we know the background, how it's made, how they clean, let's try to match and see what our issues are. So there are simple things like, I put together a list of the more popular items that people know about. The apple juice, at least the ones locally had an OU on it, and they're usually kosher. The baked goods that you purchase, okay, those we know are not good. The breakfast meals, don't touch. The caramel sauce is not kosher, which relates to the macchiato, but the caramel syrup is. Coffee beans, we all know, are kosher, besides this one coffee bean that is a very special coffee bean that, believe me, they're not selling here. There's like $100 a little bag, and those come out of a cat, a civet cat, and you would know if they're, you know, if that's the one. So, but regular coffee beans are not a problem. Cream, eggnog, those could be an issue because they have in it monoglycerides, they have in it gelatin. It happens to be locally, at least there in Chicago, even though it doesn't say kosher, the hefker on it, but they are okay because they all buy from Kemp's, and Kemp's is under the CRC, and I spoke to Rabbi Landa, and he confirmed everything in those plants are kosher. This is subject to change. I'm just letting you know, it happens to be that for this area, it turns out to be okay. The flavor syrup is something you can look on. It says it on the back. Most of them have the OU. The vast majority are kosher. A couple of them aren't. And I think the pumpkin is not, but there are definitely some. The Frappuccino, I said, is not kosher. Half and half, again, that could be not kosher, but locally it is. The hot chocolate base, that's when they make hot chocolate, they make a base. And those happen to be, does not have a hechsher in it, but the ingredients are four ingredients, which what we call in the industry are group ones, which really are innocuous and don't have any issues, and I have no problem saying that the hot chocolate base is okay. The mocha, the regular mocha is okay, the white mocha is not. Certainly the wraps, the pastries, the salads, the sandwiches are not good. Some of the smoothies are, most of them aren't. Soy milk used to have OU, now they changed companies, now it has a UMK, and that is it's recommended. And the rest of the stuff are pretty much, you can see if it's kosher or not. Okay, so now that we know what we're dealing with, let's get a little bit into, this is a Torah share, so we'll talk a little bit the halacha, and we'll understand the basis of how halacha works. Transfer of tam. I told you that you have in one area, in a dishwasher, kosher, let's say a brew basket or a metal cup that makes your lattes with non-kosher kalim. How does tam transfer? So in halacha we know that anything with heat, which we define as anything over 120, takes tam from point A to point B. So first of all, residue. Let's say your eggnog, which could have gelatin, was made on your espresso bar on the wands. Is there a chance that actual residue is still on when you want to go ahead and perhaps make a latte? So that, they're very good in, Starbucks is very good in wiping things down and taking off the residue. So I wouldn't worry about actual residue of non-kosher when they're making your coffee or anything like that. I've said this before, one of the things that absolutely amazed me, and I've been to many, many Starbucks, way too many that I should be going into and spending my time, but I want to be as accurate as I can. I was so amazed at the lack of consistency. Now, I'm not saying, I want to stress, lack of consistency doesn't translate into purchasing something that might have bacteria or anything like that. They all get the job done. But as far as what each place does, so, like for example, the ceramic plate. Some of them say they put it in the dish machine. Some people said, no way, we would never do it. It will crack. The brew basket, some did, some didn't. It was just so amazing. And I begin to learn, it depends who you're asking. There are store managers that need to tell you what it says in the book. There are baristas who want to go home at night and do it very quickly. But again, they get the job done. They sanitize and they do whatever they do different ways. And then there's the ex-baristas that don't work anymore and they can, tell you, we'll leave it at that. But it's really amazing. It's just this will help us a little bit when we talk about how you as a consumer or maybe a small VOD in a city that doesn't have what we have here in Chicago, places to go out and have a coffee that are kosher. So there's some ideas, but the idea is that I found the people very flexible. And even one of the local places here, when I went in, they became very rigid, and every question we asked was, you have to ask corporate, here's their number. They're very scared, and the other places were so accommodating. One of the places was such took off time, took his lunch break, and really sat with us. So it really depends on, it's like every business, it depends on who you talk to. But this thing about lack of consistency really amazed me. But again, I do want to stress, it's not a health issue. It's more of a kosher issue. Okay. So, we're not worried about residue itself. But there is the concept of bleios. Now, let me describe for you, just for a second, I want to digress to what happens. What do we do every day in kashrus? Okay. Last week, I was in a plant that makes, in one day they make hot beef broth, kosher soy milk, chocolate milk, and organic milk. Okay? In one day. So we as an agency have to set it up in a way where the bleos if they would start the morning, with the beef broth, that's the end of the day. You can't do anything with that. So we have to set up the day where they do everything kosher in the morning, kosher parv, kosher dairy, and then the non-kosher. That's how we set it up. The real way to set it up is actually to do kosher par Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday would be kosher dairy, and Friday would be non-kosher. Why do I want to do that? Because then you have the weekend where everything becomes an Einu Ben Yomo, 24 hours down, and then Monday morning they start up with the one strong koshering, they boil out the machines and they're ready to go. And that is, by and large, the way we set up plants. Why are we doing that? Because when you have a non-kosher blia in a keli, especially if it's not kosher derabanan, it's a d'oraisa, it's meat. What? Oh, sorry, blia is an absorbed taste. Halacha says, if you cook up a pot of shrimp, and then you pull out the shrimp, and then you clean it well. You clean it well, and you put in soap, and then you clean it well, and then you cook up your spaghetti. Your spaghetti is treif, because it went into the wall, and it came out with heat again. The only way to do that is two things. One is wait 24 hours, so the bleias become stale, and kosher. What's the concept? Because if you think about it, let's think it through for a second. When you kosher something, how do you kosher? You boil up water. So the blea is coming out. But wait a minute. Won't it also go right back in? Right? How do you kosher? How does that ever work? So that's why the halacha says you got to wait 24 hours, because if it comes out, it's stale, and we don't care if it goes back in, because it doesn't affect what our concerns. Now, let's say, and this is very true for milk plants, the cows don't have a schedule where they're off on weekends, right? It doesn't work like that. They milk them every day, so there's 24/7. And today, in general, the concept of stam kelim ein ben yomai, that machines in big factories are down 24 hours, that doesn't work there. 24/7, because these are million dollars, multi-million dollar machines, and they have to use them as much as they can to get back their revenue. So they're going to come and say, there's no way we're going to wait over a weekend. We're not going to wait 24 hours. So the standard in the industry is to create an artificial 24 hour. How do you make an artificial 24 hour? Well, you think about, what are we just the logic? The logic was, it comes out, but it's stale, we don't care if it goes back in. Let's make it stale. How do you make it stale? By putting in something very distasteful, like soap. So if you kosher by first doing a hot water rinse with soap, and it puts the bleias stale, and then you kosher with hot water, that is another way that the kosher agency get around it. I do need to warn you, though. Most of the agencies agree with this only if we're koshering, let's say, from milchig to pariv, because they're really both kosher. It's just In the Shulchan Aruch, it's called heteripol. It's really mutter, heter. But to go from a treif d'oraisa, no way. Now, some people still do it, because if you do it right, you can still do it. But we get calls from the CRC all the time. That plant that's doing non-kosher, Do you kosher as a ben yomo with pogrom, or do you really wait the 24 hours? Pogrom is pogrom means distasteful. Like the soap is distasteful. So there are many people that don't want that. Here in Starbucks, whatever we're going to talk about, we are dealing with daraisa ben yomo. That means it's treif daraisa and it's within 24 hours. So before we get into some of the details, now I want to explain that at least for the full-blown Starbucks, you would never do this at home. You would never play around with this. A knife that just cut a hot ham sandwich, you're going to put in your dishwasher, and then worry about this and all the shtickle tire I'm about to give you, you would never do this at home. And I'm going to skip to the end for a second. This speech and what you purchase is really a litmus test of how from you are, okay? It's really, okay, this one has this thick of reasons why I'm coach allowed to do it. This one has this much. I'm not going to tell you what you can or cannot buy, but I'll weigh it out for you. You can talk it over with your rough, but the concept is that as we look at each particular drink, it really boils down to how comfortable you are with this. You would never do this at home, and certainly the people on this side of the table, you'll be thrown out of the home if you try it. Bring in a treifa knife or a treifa ceramic plate that just made a ham sandwich. Yeah, you would never do it. Again, the good news is, again, skipping ahead for a minute, there is an etzel. You can go to the kiosks. You can get whatever you want, almost, we'll talk about it in a minute, without having to worry about this part of daraisa ben yomo treif blias. Okay, so firstly, dairy. Most people either don't keep Kol Yisrael, or if they keep Kol Yisrael, aren't worried about blios, again, absorb taste from non-Kol Yisrael. Chabad, the Hasidim, they do. They do worry about that. In other words, they hold non-Kol Yisrael is as treif as anything else, and therefore they require a real kashering. So for example, if you ever see on certain cheeses or milk, you'll see the words koshered at 212. What does that mean? Koshered at 212, you'll actually see it on the packaging, is that some, like especially again Chabad, they're very machmer on this, that it has to be they don't consider non-Kol Yisrael blios to be just, okay, I'm machmer Kol Yisrael, but I don't worry about the absorbed taste. So therefore, kosher to 12 means they did an absolute great koshering. What do they do again? They waited 24 hours, and they koshered at the highest possible temperature where water boils, which is 212 degrees. Okay? Fine. The second possible non-kosher are the flavors. I said flavors can go into a flavor pump or into, they can go into, you also have gelatin and these type of things. Those are part of a drink. An eggnog might have gelatin. Certain things might have a flavor that's not kosher. The truth is, without getting to the details now, I spent a lot of time reviewing and figuring out how much percentage of flavors and gelatin are all in. And while they're absolutely non-kosher, and you can't drink them, they won't affect the utensils. They won't affect your kalim. They won't affect the blios. And that's very important for us. Again, for a kiosk. So if the guy did make an eggnog or something with half and half that had in it the monoglycerides, it has to do with zevizagirim. We can talk about it afterwards. It has to do with damavu and of melech ablu amidam. It's a sugyo that it talks about something else bringing in non-kosher flavor and then extending. It's not a Yoredeya Shir, so I won't get into it too much. But I will tell you, and this is one of the big changes from last time, is that having looked into it further and looking at how much goes into it, I don't think that we should be concerned about a flavor making your coffee, a non-kosher flavor making your coffee non-kosher from the fact that they met each other in the dish machine or in the three-compartment sink. Now, There is a concept also in halacha called a kli rishon, a kli sheni, an irin kli rishon, and a dover gush. Also, complicated halacha, kli rishon, very simply is, let's give you an example. You go ahead and you heat up water in a stainless steel kettle. You pour the water into a teacup, then you take a spoon and you mix whatever you are, whatever you're doing in that cup. So the first thing you heated in the clay, the first kettle, that's called a kli rishon. The cup that you just poured into is irim kli rishon. Irim kli rishon means it was poured from a kli rishon. And that in halacha means that it's mavliya kadei klipa. It goes in a kadei klipa this much, not the full amount of the wall of the cup. And finally, the spoon that you mixed with is a kli sheni, and it only affects it as a kli sheni. So a kli rishon, as we said, absorbs a full amount of the wall. An irim kli rishon goes into kadei klipa, and a kli sheni lechatchila, we assume that it does transfer taste from point A to point B, and therefore the halacha is that a kli sheni does need to be kosher, but b'dieved the food is still kosher. So this is very negay for our dishwasher and our machine. And finally, the dover goosh. A dover goosh is, let's say, a hot potato. A hot potato retains its heat, so even though you put it on a plate, excuse me, the plate is a kli sheni, but the hot potato gives its status as a kli rishon, and it gives it over as kadei klipa. What would be, as an example, what would be an example in Starbucks as a dover goosh? Anybody know?
The ham sandwich,
because it's hot, and you put it on the keli, on the plate, so it would be a dover goosh. What would be an example of cooking in a kli rishon in Starbucks? The wands, not coffee. The wands, any of the espresso bar, anything in the espresso bar, because you're actually steaming and cooking it up. That's a kli rishon.
What about the water for the coffee and the cup of coffee?
Right, I'm about to say that. And what would you say is an example of a kli sheni, an irim kli rishon kli sheni? That would be the brew basket, because the brew basket has in it coffee, paper filter, and finally it hits the metal metal brew basket.
Yeah, what about the water they can put in first before they get the brew basket? What's that?
That's water. That's fine.
It's water. No, I mean what's made, what's heated in. I think that heats
the only water. Only water's
water. That's okay. That's what you want?
Is it the basket of an euro?
No.
Yeah. It's an irim kli rishon, but there's enough things breaking it up that l'chaira you can possibly use it as a kli sheni. So what we've identified is different ways they do it. We looked at the halacha, and again, the most difficult is the dish machine, because that is, you can either consider mamash a kli rishon depending on how hot it gets. I've opened it up, it was pretty hot in there, and if it gets so hot you would call it a kli rishon. And if you cook in the rice of benyomo tam with something else, it's a problem. Or you can call it an irim kli rishon, because really is it spring. On the bottom there's this hot coil that sprays up. We all know how dishwashers work. And therefore, then it's only mavliya kadei klipa. Now, pegima we talked about. The pegima, like the Shulchan Aruch talks about, the classic case is you're cooking up soup and a fly falls in. Right? Now, what's the halach of a fly falls into your soup and you can't find it? So there's something called, what's that? Right, it's not bottle precision because it's a barrier. But let's say you saw, in its attempt to fly out, it lost a wing. Alright? So now you know you have a fly minus a wing. At least they're not attached. And now you can't find either. So the halach is, Don't tell your kids, first of all. But the halacha is that it's kosher to eat, because a fly's taste is absolutely disgusting, and it's not something we would drink, eat anyway, and it is batel b'shishim, so you can drink if you feel a crunch, thank you. If you feel a crunch, again, don't tell your kids on that one either. But the point is that this concept of pogum works out with explaining with the soap, and it's the soap is pretty much our fly when it comes to washing dishes. So the first sink does have the soap in it. The first rinse in the sanitizer has sanitizer, which may or may not be pogum, so it has something. But our big issue is going to be the fact that you, at least in the last rinse of the sanitizer, is hot with no soap in it. And why don't you say that perhaps the soap went in either the sink or in the first rinse of the sanitizer and made the bleus pogum? So this is where, again, the agencies, and basically this is how we paskin, and this is what the Chazon Ish says. The Chazon Ish says, who's to say how much pegima goes in? We don't know that. We don't know how much, at what temperature pegima goes in. We do know one thing, that pegima is transferred at, we know that your mafud umavliya, that things go in and out at hagola temperature. So if you put the pegima in, like I described before, like we do in the plants, at 212, or at least haskolas resicha, means when it starts to boil. At what temperature does water start to boil? 190. So then you can say, okay, the pegima went in. But anything less than that, the Chazon Ish says you have nothing. So here we have it. The problem is, these are cooked at 180, the sanitized 180. So we have a specific problem where when you have bleus d'oraisa without a koshering, without bleus going in of pegima, that really are an issue. So I went and I spoke to our Bezin, Rabbi Schwartz. I also was in the OU 2 weeks ago, and I sat with Rebelsky, went through the sugya with him. I also spoke to Rabbi First over Shabbos, and other poskim who were absolutely appalled. Now, granted, most of them don't drink Starbucks. They don't understand the culture and the Atzelos Nefashos we're talking about over here. But they couldn't understand why somebody would want to buy a coffee that had in it Treif D'Oraisa Ben Yomo, and I tried arguing, well, maybe the soap in the first compartment sink makes the tam pogum, and they said, you don't even have Kabbalah Tachpolta, we don't have to describe it, but basically, you need to have the same degrees. The sandwiches are heated at 500 degrees, or 400 degrees. The soap maybe goes in at 130. It doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. Also, the sink water is a cliché. It's not even sure you taste that. We tasted it. It wasn't even so sure it was pogum, and certainly the Chazon Ish. So to them, they couldn't figure out why I'm even talking about the subject. All right. So I do want to tell you that the people that live halacha and are concerned about Klal Yisrael certainly would not be recommending. Don't leave now. Okay, wait a minute. I'm certainly not recommending that you should buy in a regular full-blown Starbucks, a regular coffee. They just don't understand that. But there are some aces. Well, we'll get to that. Well, espresso, we'll get to that. All right. So let's talk about, let's go right with that. Let's talk about certain items that are really free of concern. Okay? You could possibly make it sort of. And I actually have a handout for you. I didn't want to give it to you first. We made up somewhat of a thing of some of the more popular things in Starbucks. And we have four different things acceptable without any question. Okay, now, so I'll hand it out soon. But we'll go through some of the more popular items there. and I'll give you some ideas of how you can do it. Starting off, I want to repeat, if a person really enjoys a latte or iced coffee or any of these things, and you really want it without any shilas or you know, real shilas, the best thing to do, go to Target, go to Dominic's, some of the other places, I'm not familiar with all of the kiosks locally.
Bookstores.
The bookstores. Those are places that, again, don't use hot ham sandwiches, and they don't use the dish machine. You're not dealing with the rice of benyamos.
Do they have cakes?
They have cakes, but those are all packed. You buy it and take it. They don't, so really, it's like, you know, it's the Rebbeinu Shlomo gives everybody a way out. You know, there's, you know, the kachal is the udder. The udder, actually, if it's done right, it tastes a little bit like basar v'chol, meat and milk cooked together. Someone that really wants to taste that meat and milk, Hashem made it, okay, here's your eights, okay? You're satisfied, let's go on. So also, with the Starbucks, at least for now, there is an eitzah. The kiosks seem to be the best way. Having said that, if you have a meeting in a full-blown Starbucks, or you're living out of town, or whatever it is, so there are certain things we can deal with. The first thing is the espresso itself seems to be relatively easy. Because all it is an internal coffee shot where they make it and they serve it to you. The problem is that officially they put it into shot glasses. They put the shot glasses and they make the espresso. And from that, they make all the other drinks. So the shot glasses do get sanitized in this dish machine. It's a little less of a problem because it's glass. And we all know that glass doesn't absorb as much as metal and halacha, except for Pesach or Machmer. So you have what to work with there. You have what to work with. But you can easily tell them, for kosher reasons, can you just make my espresso right into my cup? Right into my serving plastic cup. They can do that. They'll do that. Or they even have these little, small cups where they can do that. They're very accommodating in Starbucks. So if you ask for an espresso, or an Americano for that matter, and you do it in a way where it's made without using the shot glass, I don't see any problem at all. Hot tea, of course, you could also. Even an iced latte. An iced latte, the way they make the iced lattes is they make coffee concentrate in the mornings. It'll make it, they'll brew it and let it sit and get good concentrated in a plastic container which sits in the fridge. And then they'll pour it over and they'll pour it over ice and put in the milk and here it goes. So again, that plastic pitcher was made, is being in the dishwasher as well. So you have a little bit of that concern. But again, you can ask them, I want a nice latte. Can you make the espresso on the spot without, just making it in my disposable cup? And hopefully they can do that for you. An iced tea, also, it's the same problem where they make the iced tea concentrate every morning and let it sit in the plastic container hot. But you can ask them to double brew it in your serving cup, and that should be okay. The latte is a little harder to do, but I do have a possible eitzah, which I'll talk about in a minute. Out of papers here, as you can tell. Okay. So. Let me, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go through some of the popular drinks there and tell you about the shilas. And this is what I meant before, is that you could determine your level of Yiras Shamayim v'Yiras Chet, no pressure here, to determine what you're comfortable or not. Americano, using a shot glass, has the shiloh of the shot glass, the glass part, being washed in the dish machine. It's a little better, as I said, because it's glass, so you have what to work with. Much better. Americano using a disposable, no problems. Apple juice steamed. The cup may be washed with other items. The wand, maybe they can brew it for you in your own disposable, double disposable, they don't hurt themselves. But you still have the wand issue. The baked goods are not kosher. Breakfast are not kosher. Brewed coffee, the only shaila is the brew basket. You might want to say, well, it's a klisheni. That's the possible heter. You decide. Caramel macchiato is not kosher because the caramel sauce is not kosher. But if you order the caramel syrup, at least the ingredients are kosher. Espresso, again, using the shot glass, better to avoid that. But you could use it with espresso using disposable. The syrups, you just look to see if they're kosher. The frappuccinos are not kosher. The hot chocolate is made up of three things. It's not the base, which even though it's a hatcher, I told you it was okay. It's made with steam milk, which is the same question about the wands. And then they have a flavor shot, a vanilla flavor shot, which happens to be kosher. The iced coffee and the iced latte, the iced coffee, as I just explained about the plastic pitcher, maybe they can double brew it for you. The iced latte is best if you use a disposable and not the shot glass. The iced tea, again, double brew for you. The milk is kosher. Milk steam has that other issue. The paninis, the pastries, the salad, the sandwiches are no good. Smoothies are generally no good besides one, but generally keep away from them. Hot tea, there should be no problem. And the wraps are no good. You have a question?
Yeah. The wand itself.
Yeah.
What's the wand?
I'm gonna address that as I go along, but if I didn't answer the specific question, I'll come back to it.
So that's assuming that it's regular coffee. Does it make, they have different kinds of coffee?
I just explained it. It depends what you want to do with the brew basket. If you're, it's a klisheni. It was washed in a dishwasher with treif. Ask your rabbi. That's what it boils down to. So, I do have a possible etzah for the let's talk about the wand, for example. The old wand, the double prong wands, are more problematic because they remained as is. They don't directly cook non-kosher. No one's putting in a ham sandwich and steaming that, right? But what you are getting is the cup that was just washed in the tray for dishwasher now is being steamed with the wand. So I was thinking of two possible solutions. One is, if they're willing, to kosher on the spot, okay?
They don't steam anything that's tray.
You might have come late, but what they do is like this. They steam non-kosher, that you can't drink liquids. They don't steam anything that will affect the kalim. So they'll steam, you understand, there's eggnog, for example. They steam apple cider. They'll steam half and half that might have a gelatin in it. Those are not kosher to drink. They'll have a flavor that's not going to drink. But in halacha, most place can hold that it won't affect the kalim because of the small amount. You understand it? So the two possible ways you could do is you can have them kosher. This is a little bit iffy. You can ask them to take a double cup, and if they're very helpful, the first cup will have soap solution, and they'll boil it up, okay? And then they'll throw that out, and then they'll take plain hot water, and boil that up, so you're just koshered. All right? Don't try that at home. But that is that's one way. The second way, which deals with halacha called shefa, which Rav Moshe holds that it could, we pass like the mechaber that even a ben yoma works. That's me piya shmuel Rav Moshe. That if they don't want to do the soap thing, but they just want to take two hot water, do a hot water boil out, and then do another hot water boil, and then make your thing, then that could work possibly in halacha as well. But what I was thinking of, and this really, this I'm talking to maybe Vadim in smaller cities that really need to work with what they don't have much. Now that they've gone to these attachable wands or detachable wands, perhaps they could keep a kosher wand and a kosher metal cup for their customers. I mean, it should be. I mean, they go through a bunch of them anyway. And that really depends on your relationship with the baristas, or if somebody over here wants to buy one of them and instruct the baristas to really, you know, why can't we introduce this concept? When a kosher customer comes in, they take out the kosher wand and the kosher cup and do it like that. We still need to make sure that they don't chafe it up at night, so they can sanitize it separately. So that was one of, yeah.
Well, I don't understand why the kiosk sounded better. The wand is really, how does the kiosk get away with it?
Because the kiosk doesn't have trafe deraisa, any hot trafe deraisa.
Do they have the egg, like the eggnog?
The eggnog, the flavors are not worried about. So really what we're coming out is different than a couple years, than 3 years ago, is on one hand a kula and one hand a kumra. To review, the kula is you really could get anything you want to drink if you go to the kiosk. That's the good news. The kumra is that the regular Starbucks, just the way they're set up now, are more problematic than they were a couple years ago, because then they were still experimenting and getting it. They weren't really doing the hot, you know, sandwiches. But this concept, these ideas, will hopefully work. Yeah.
When you said there's a cooler to go to a kiosk, is that you still have to be somewhere on different coolers to be use the cooler?
Minimal, because whatever real trafe, there's no real trafe there. The most it might be is a flavor in one of the things, or maybe gel. Certainly in Chicago there are.
I can't. Drink the caramel
macchiato,
but just the fact that caramel macchiato went through the
it doesn't even go through the espresso machine. The caramel macchiato they might meet each other in the sink, as a cliche. Most paiskim, again, I want to tell you something. At home, you wouldn't do this, really. But it, you know, we in halacha, there's it's called a town culture. There's very little to worry about in a kiosk. Yes.
Two questions. One is, everyone needs kiosk. Getting a plain coffee, no syrup and nothing, just from the brew basket, and it's not an issue.
No.
So if you're in an airport...
Sure, airports are great.
Okay. Other question is, what is the status of the bottled frappuccino?
So that is actually, as a can, it's kosher, some of the rabbis, it's a little chalap, and it's fine.
So the ones in the can...
And, wait, I gotta give a plug. Okay. Hold on. You can find this on our new... What's it called? App. Our CRC app. Rabbi Aronin is our apps person, together with Mrs. Mishkin, and we just now we have the app on the iPhone, and now we have it on the Palm, and soon to be Droid. So you can find a lot of our what's that? Yeah, Droid. It's coming up. They're working on it. So. And wait, I forgot one other plug. And we're on Twitter. Yes.
Right,
because the base, right, the base coming in are made all over the country, all over the world, I think even China, whatever, where those plants aren't kosher. Rabbi Chalap is making sure that what's being bottled in the plant, you know, there's no Starbucks in the back where they're making those, right? It's a plant somewhere, right? The wrap base coming, he's making sure it's coming from a kosher plant. That's the difference.
Okay.
Understand? Yes.
So you're saying when getting a cup of coffee and they've got the cold containers of milk and half and half, and you know, when you put your own in after you've gotten the coffee, is okay?
Yeah, those are good. Yeah.
In a regular Starbucks, how often do they wash the baskets?
Every day.
Within the day or at the end of the day?
Both. They sanitize all day long. And at night when they sanitize, they told me it takes about 15 loads to get everything. They're pretty small, these things. Which, you know, for halacha, it works to our advantage and doesn't work. It works to our advantage that you don't really know if today the brew basket was washed with the knife or the ceramic plate that just did the ham sandwich. You don't know. So it's maybe a suffix isser, which is why my aces with the double koshering works, because it works on a suffix. On the other hand, they're small. If it would be a big one, you can say maybe they're shishim of blias kenega that knife, but when they're small, you don't have shishim.
Why are they washing in the middle of the day? The blue basket.
They're always sanitizing. Sarah's very strict on sanitizing.
Now, if they're doing it throughout the day,
yeah.
In the morning,
where they probably haven't washed any sandwiches, you know, really, I mean, washed sandwiches in that morning.
Or the morning is when they use the most. That is one of my ideas, by the way, for, again, this is a small VOD. Maybe you can do a kosher latte day, which means every Tuesday, you can go. I want you to know, especially one of them close by, was very amenable to ideas. So perhaps we can go in there, like you're saying. This is one of the concepts we had, was convince them today we're gonna start off by koshering, the way I explained. And today, please don't sanitize anything that touched the oven till 3 o'clock, or the whole day, till the end of the day, or at least don't sanitize it in the dishwasher machine. You can do it in a cold sand. They can do that. They can do cold sanitation in one of the compartments also. So that day, all the lattes are going to be, again, that would really work for a small. I was recently in a small town where I showed them the. They actually were certifying the Starbucks, which I couldn't understand. So I showed one of the people from all the koshers, the oven, and he, for some reason it slipped through and they immediately pulled it off the wall. They no longer certified. But my point with that is that they have a relationship with the Starbucks, and maybe they'd be willing to do that. Another idea is, and this really, if anybody just wants coffee, the best idea is to convince your local Starbucks to sanitize the brew basket separately. Some people do that anyway. They don't put it in the dish machine. They'll just sanitize it cold. And if you do that, then all of the coffee is going to be good. Right? So that's another insight that we have. Go ahead.
Are these issues also for a non-certified Dunkin' Donuts or McDonald's or going anywhere else to get a coffee where you're having these issues?
Most probably, most of these places, you know, wash the machine, have a dishwasher in the back, and they would probably do it the same. So, it's probably yes. Yeah.
You mentioned that you're better off going to Dominic's with you, but they have Starbucks in these places, so what's the difference?
Because they don't have non-kosher hot sandwiches.
So, Starbucks and Dominic's with you is okay. Is that what you're saying for coffee?
Yeah. So what I not yet. I actually thought about it 7 o'clock this morning. But these ideas came to me. But I do want to tell you the following, that we're working. They're very, at least one of them is very helpful, and we're going to be working with them closely, and maybe we'll be able to semi-certify one of the local Starbucks, as well as we're going to very soon put out this speech I just said in a big article form, together with charts. Some of the chart I'll pass out, but it's going to be reformulated and edited better, and then hopefully even make an app out of that, whatever, kosher Starbucks, or, you know, the Starbucks-approved CRC app of that. So stay tuned, and, you know, hopefully this will come out soon. I have one question. Yeah?
A, what's the name of the app, and B, is it available at CRC's website?
I don't know.
Yes.
So it's not on the website.
It's not on the website.
The information is on the website, but not in app form. So not the website. All that information is on the website.
What's
your CRC
culture in your
name?
That's the name of the app. CRCweb.org.
CRCweb.org. Yeah, you have a question? Oh, you did. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I was on the assumption that higher altitudes, water boils at different temperatures.
Yeah, that's true.
So that when you use 212, is there an adjustment? Or is it Denver?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They're
I was right. But I was giving the general. You're right about that. Okay. Yeah. I have to be fair. I have to give everybody a chance. Yeah.
Like the blenders, no problem whatsoever?
No. It's cold. I mean, one of the things we looked at, it's a good question, is how hot the motor gets it, but it's cold.
But can't they throw a hot drink in there and blend it, and then it freezes?
Like what?
Well, let's say they make you a hot latte, and they steam an eggnog latte, you do eggnog. They pour it in, they put in ice, and they blend it.
That's not how they make it, though. I have they're very exact in how they make things. You're right about one thing, that baristas try to become creative. And if you as a customer, like a lot of times kids want all types of weird things mixed together. So sometimes that will happen, but it's dovishlish here. It usually doesn't happen. I wouldn't worry so much about the Tom about that. Yeah.
So I'm saying glass is not bolea. That's why. It's not,
right.
It's the metal. It's the horn is canceled that. But there's no bolea by glass here, right, sir?
Well, that's the machlekes. The Ramah and Chaver. It's Pesach or Machmer. You know, depending. It's not simple. It's not a halacha that glass is never bolea. It's a machlekes. So it's much easier if you get an espresso made in glass. There is more. I have to. Yeah.
So you mentioned the Chazon Ish that says you need a higher temperature than you get in the first two compartments for it to be polling. So
yeah.
Are there any other legitimate days that are more natural than that, that would say that if the temperatures that they have, that it would be good enough?
There is the concept. Anyone that learned Shulchan Aruch knows the concept of Kabbalah Bech Balto. Before the Chazon Ish came, I was, you know, and said this very logical step. A lot of people relied on Kabbalah Bech Balto. That means if treif went in at 140 and you boiled it at 150 or soap went in at 150, the same way it went in, it came out. The problem over here is, as I explained, that they're baking it at 400 degrees and they're putting it at 130, whatever it is. So you don't even have Kabbalah Bech Balto. Yeah. I'll come back around here.
So back to the blenders for a minute. If you wanted to, in theory, buy the bottle of Fettuccino and ask it to find it for you,
great idea. Someone mark that down. I'll call it by your name. I like that idea. Blend frap in we'll call it Carlop frap. See, this is good. I have to go around the room, so I'll give you one a chance. Yeah.
I just want to make another commercial that the Slice of Life and Resident both do what you call these fancy
coffees. Okay.
There are alternatives.
That's for sure. Thank you. Yeah.
Do you have a day that's special for you, or do you just trust that they're not going to put it in, like there won't be some barista who comes in?
I haven't thought through that for how, what type of control. I mean, it's a good question. How we in CRC plants, in our standard in Chicago, is there's a mashkiach all time in all of our restaurants. The Shem Shabbos is there. And on top of that, we have the visiting mashkiach, usually Rabbi Katz, who goes in daily and checks things out. On top of him is Rabbi Eisenbach in the office, and then I oversee the kashrus department. So we have like four or five layers for every single restaurant. There are certain times, certain places, that we put in an added thing, we put in cameras to watch them, to, you know, certain, usually the ones that had problems at one point. So we put in cameras. So it could be we can work with a camera. They'd have to be amenable to all this. But, you know, that part, that's more of a detail how it's set up, but we would be comfortable. And every VOD would make their own decision how much they would want to do it. The best thing is if one of the baristas would be a Shem Shabbos, you know, that would work the best for all of us.
Corporate wouldn't allow it.
The Shem Shabbos?
Because they wanted open on Shabbos.
No. We were talking about making the day thing. Wait. I'm going around the room. Okay? Back to the side. Yes.
Is there any way to work in, or would you work in, Rabbeinu Tam, something where it's not strict 24 hours, it's like an overnight, does that help in any of these?
Lima Svilo usually would work, but not in Daraisas. We're in Daraisas. Otherwise, Lima Svilo, which is an overnight, won't get into now, but that's it. Yes?
What happens if you're like driving long distance,
right, so someone asked that already, and it's a shy coffee in these places. If you want my opinion, I'll give you my list of places to buy by most severe problems to least. The most severe would be the McDonald's and the, you know, any place that does treif d'oraisa. And possibly, and I guess McDonald's and Starbucks, that type of thing. Then you would have airplanes would be after that, because I've been in the places where they clean the airplane, the coffee pots. They throw it all in. So a commercial dishwasher. First rinse is very hot, without soap. The shrimp gets stuck onto the coffee thing, and So the reason why it's number two is because really a coffee pot is a cliché. And then, I know Rebelski told me when he travels, he always takes his little coffee, single thing, dip or instant coffee. And he says, make me a coffee with this and your paper cup, pour it in straight from the hot water spigot, and that's how he drinks his coffee.
The
hot water is a natural, it's an internal thing. That never gets
touched. You don't wash that thing that you're making the water out?
No, that's an internal. You ever go into, maybe I should have, I thought people understood this, but when you, even in Starbucks, in all these places, at all these machines, there's this red handle that are stuck on that's an internal hot water maker. Those are never cleaned. They don't have to be because it's an internal thing. And the third and easiest, in my opinion, would be the hotels, because the hotel, when you go into the room, there's a coffee machine. The coffee mugs or the coffee machines are usually washed right there in the bathroom sink. They don't take it down to the dishwasher. So that's what I found.
I saw one place where they had a rack.
Yeah, okay. They're supposed to be, but they don't.
Where did the gas stations fall in?
The gas stations also, though. They, how many gas stations cook hot trade? Very little. 7-Ups, 7-Elevens, I'm sorry. Also, I forgot about those. But a regular gas station, also the coffee, those type of things, or 7-Eleven, not so concerned about. Yes?
Going back to the channel that you have with the dishwasher,
yeah.
Why is there a bleed into the, what's it called, the brew basket from the plate?
Yeah.
Granted that the plate is, you need 400 to have Cibolo Cost Poto, but why do you need that into the brew basket?
Because you have 100, and,
it's in that right. 400.
So the way bleeds are transferred is through hot water. So cup here that's trafe, and non-kosher and a kosher cup that meet through hot water, the bleas go through.
You don't need 400 degrees in order to kosher.
No, anything over 120.
Right, but I'm saying the kosher issue was it was on the plate. But you're not trying to kosher the plate. You're trying to make sure that the basket remains kosher. So that's only happening at 180. You don't need the 400.
No, but let me explain. Rabbi Kushner's sitting there. Okay, he deals with trucks. What does that mean? We make a lot of money on kosher trucks. If you see when you go down the highway and you see, when you go down the highway and you see these trucks hauling who knows what happens? They're hauling, let's say, milk, okay. But the day before, they hauled lard. So what do they do in order to haul milk? They go to a wash station. And the wash station, that's where the Kushner goes. He goes early in the morning, and he washes them. He watches them washing the trucks. Okay? Now, the truck came in. Let's say today's truck is a milk truck. It came in. All it wants to do is get washed and go home. But by getting washed, if Rabbi Kushner wouldn't have been there yesterday, he would actually become trafe today. Why? Because the water, what they do to save money and energy, the rinse from the lard truck, they save. And they use it for the first hot rinse of the milk truck. So he's there to make sure they throw it to the sewer and they don't do it. That's very, very common. That's why we kosherize trucks, right? And that's what pays for us to do good hashkacha, by the way, for our restaurants. So the concept behind that is, though, that the water from the large truck took in the blia, and now went into the blia of the kosher thing. So in a dish machine or dish,
not at 400 degrees.
Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. As long as it's over 120, that water now, I'm getting that sign, so I got to wrap up. Yeah, we could talk more about halacha. Yeah, once I got to go to the room.
I didn't finish the first question.
All right, go ahead.
Sometimes I'm going to places, instead of having one main thing they get the coffee out of, they have these little like thermoses.
Yeah.
And one other question, they have little thermoses if you want the regular coffee, decaf, it's not from a big machine. And also, they put cream or half and half in different separate containers. And they say, like they'll say, get the coffee from the little thermos and then the cream goes over here, it's in the container. Now what do you do about that? Is that okay or no?
It's the same child.
What?
It's the same Shiloh. The coffee, they make the coffee and they put it in it's like one of those. Those aren't not put into the dish machine. Those are not.
When you're getting the coffee out of it, you don't know how it got in there. Right,
right. So that's what I meant. It's the same Shiloh. If they brew it, I don't know. I don't know about which particular plant, particular place. If they cooked it in a pot, just like one of those glass pitchers, and they pour it in there, those should be okay. But if they do it in a brew basket, it's the same Shiloh. I don't know enough about that particular. There's no one answer to your question. That's what I'm saying.
What about using like the half and half or within
those half and half has to have a hechsher. Right, but milk doesn't.
Milk. Well, what about McDonald's sometimes has little bottles of milk. Could you use those bottles?
Yeah. Little bottles of like disposable.
They have milk. They sell like milk in a little.
Yeah, those are fine. No problem.
Even I might not have a hechsher.
That's fine. Even though. Okay, any other questions? Yeah.
I'm still confused about the one. You said if they steam the eggnog and then they want to steam my latte later, it's not a problem for the tequila or the cooler?
I said that you wouldn't do this at home, but in halacha, if you break it down, there's not so much of a problem.
What about I have a laundry machine at home also. When you steam, stuff sprays onto the machine on top, and it can fall into the next cup.
That's okay. Starbucks is actually pretty good with sanding. After every drink, they shoot out steam, and then they wipe it down. They're pretty good with sanitation, if anyone from Starbucks is listening.
To make a latte, and that's a kiosk or a store.
No, a store is a problem. Because the metal keli was just washed with the tray, the raisa.
So what if they make me a latte in a paper cup?
All right, so that's one of the problem is the wand would absorb from the
wand was washed in the
soup. Well, either it was washed or absorbed from the metal cup to the thing, you know. All right.
So it's okay in a kiosk.
In a kiosk, all right? And with this we'll end. Thank you very much.